previously on the Supporting Act podcast.
Now, tell me now, are you now or have you ever been a communist?
I just want to tell the truth.
You're weird.
Well then fuck all of you!
I'm gonna cry.
Let's get down and dirty.
And me with my dick out.
Oh my god, it's my daughter!
I'll set you on fire, Rob Schneider.
I would love to act in a musical.
Hey, this is life, whatever. La-di-da-di.
I don't know, it's not working because I tried to download the download to my downloads and then I downloaded the download.
This is crazy, man. I can't believe it.
I saw things out of a Pasolini movie in real life, you know? It was like Sallow in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
The key to writing is to not do the first thing that pops into your head.
You should avoid watching people through windows.
I love the spiked bleach blonde hair. I wish I had spiked bleach blonde hair.
Everything makes me anxious.
I'm gonna shine a light on all this bullshit.
Yeah, I bet there's no dead bodies or drugs in here.
Why am I happy you're crying?
Do I look like I have a plan to you? I'm in a bathrobe and Crocs.
What the hell am I gonna do with the rest of my career? Nothing.
Well, I guess this is just my life. I guess I'm just gonna keep on being awesome.
I'm a vulnerable person.
This is 2 hours of dudes with no shirts on pestering people.
We should adopt a child. He can live right here.
This week on a very special Supporting Act podcast.
Thank you for making me look like an uncultured prick, Matt.
You're listening to episode number 28 of the Supporting Act podcast. Jazz festival season is upon Winnipeg, and so it's only right that I interview the Noble Thieves. Myron and Joel of the Soul Outfit join me in the kitchen to talk about the magical land of Sweden, marketable nostalgia, and Joel tells a story that you'll never forget. So stay tuned, you might learn something. You're listening to episode number 28 of the Supporting Act podcast, the show where we illuminate the careers of musicians and artists just shy of the mainstream spotlight. My name is Matt Moskal. I'll be your host. I'm a musician by trade, a journalist by education, and a professional pillow fight referee. If you haven't heard the show before, we are an independently produced podcast that is published by Liberated Syndication, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, ShowbizMonkeys.com, as well as, you know, we have a Tumblr feed for the little ones, of course. And you can subscribe to us on various forums and keep up with the show every week, as well as drop ratings and reviews, as well as email us at tsapodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or if you want to hear any sort of future guests, or heck, maybe if you have some fan mail, I don't know. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But not as crazy as upcoming events. So on Saturday, June the 21st, I will be introducing Leaf with special guest SMRT at Union Sound Hall in Winnipeg, Manitoba, as part of the TD Winnipeg International Jazz Festival. Not a gig, but a nice opportunity to come out and meet the public. On June 25th, I will be performing at Rumors Comedy Club as part of the Funniest Person with a Day Job competition. The show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $5 in advance. Send me an email at tsapodcast@gmail.com if you're interested in getting one off of me. And on Saturday, June the 28th, at the Park Theater in Winnipeg, Manitoba, I will be opening for Hearing Trees as part of their EP release show. That's June 28th at 8 p.m., $10 in advance for tickets. The lineup will also include Soulhounds, Joey Penner, and I will be collaborating with slam poet Mona Musa. Just a couple of thank yous are in order before we get to our interview. First of all, thank you so much to Aaron Sim and Rose Jang for booking me in this year's Winnipeg Spoken Word Festival. It was the inaugural event, and it was an amazingly good time to be part of. The Haiku Deathmatch was an absolute laugh riot. You never get a better audience than that one in my mind. It is actually events like Haiku Deathmatch that have me entering the Funniest Person with a Day Job competition, because I get to look out at an audience of 100 people at a show like that and drop just 17 syllables worth of humor and watch them fall over in their chairs. And that to me is a very valuable feeling. And that to me is why I'm telling jokes again. So, not only was the Spoken Word Festival a lot of fun, but it was very inspiring. It's really hard not to leave a poetry event and feel like you want to write a little bit yourself. It's like when you go and see a band that blows you away and you want to buy your first guitar or, you know, maybe learn to play drums. This one doesn't cost as much. I mean, you can buy stationery paper pretty much anywhere. Hell, you can steal toilet paper and find a pen pretty much anywhere and start writing your own poetry, but nobody wants to see you read toilet paper on stage. And also a huge thank you to Real Love Winnipeg for the first ever, Winnipeg Real Love Summer Festival out in Gimli, this weekend. Other than the fact that I had to drive a PT Cruiser, which is basically the hearse from hell, of cars, the gas pedals are so sensitive on those things that it honestly feels like one of those kids, you know, when you stare at them and they burst out in tears, like that's how sensitive the gas pedal is to me on a PT Cruiser. But I managed to get to the festival completely intact. I had a nice drive on a sunny day to a place I'd never been before to play with a bunch of musicians I'd not heard of before. So I did a songwriting circle with Kieran West, who you heard on the show already. Richard Inman was up there. Richard Inman wrote one of the best songs I've heard in a while. That was featured at Folk and Word. Micah did a cover of it during his performance I believe it's called Ain't No Sore Loser. I don't know the actual title of it, but if you get a chance to look this song up, it's brilliant. And Richard was just, he was having a party all his own up there. We also had Joe Madden, who told some really interesting stories about his time, 2 weeks of homelessness in Toronto, Ontario, but just had the most unique sort of songwriting and storytelling on stage. And we were also joined by Jonah Barr, who also goes by Old Cabin. Jonah was a really nice young man who has played shows with plenty of musicians I've shared the stage with. We had a really good time chatting about mutual acquaintances and about the ties that sort of bind us together. And I really look forward to running into him again in the future. I think festival season has finally begun. I think that the new festivals have really ushered it in nicely, and it's with that in mind that I announced that the supporting act will be at the Winnipeg Folk Festival this year. We will have access to the media area. We will be recording interviews with artists taking place in this year's Winnipeg Folk Festival. So stay tuned for more of that coverage. I'm really looking forward to it. Festival season has begun. That's the sound of Winnipeg, Manitoba, soulful four-piece The Noble Thieves. Myron Dean and Joel Armstrong of the band joined me in the kitchen for a conversation leading up to this year's Jazz Festival. The group will be featured on Sunday, June the 15th at Old Market Square. It's a free concert. And while their star is rising and their sound is developing in a beautiful way, with such energy and such soul, it's also really nice to know that this is a group of really down-to-earth people. Not only are they really driven, but in this interview you get a lot of just them playing around and just their sense of humor really shines through, and it's kind of nice just to have a chat where there's no sort of intense pretense, but rather just a nice conversation where, you know, I got caught off guard by a lot of the stories they had to tell. Joel talks about being stalked by people online, about, you know, movements in Sweden that people stick to the 1950s aesthetic, and Myron even tells a little story about getting pulled over by the cops. But you never get the sense that these guys are up to no good. They're just out for a good time.
Why did you get pulled over by the police on the way here?
Trying to keep a good man down, man. I guess I forgot to signal or something. So, like, I saw them in the, like, behind me.
Yeah.
And, like, with the lights on, and, like, they did the whole, like, whoop, whoop! I was like, is this really for me? Like,
yeah.
Are they trying to, like, get around me, or... So I pulled over to the parking lot, they pulled over, I was like, oh, jeez. So they come around, and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, you forgot to signal. And then he's just like, yeah, we just checking. I was like, oh.
Like, they're really nice, actually. There's nice cops up there, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to find when they pull you over or something like that, though, it's like, there's always those 2 seconds of complete and utter disbelief. Like, really? Over this? Like, you have 2 seconds there where you completely contemplate making it a high-speed chase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said they're going to come out to our show, though.
Really?
So, yeah. We invited them out.
Yeah. I was like, because we're going to go do this podcast. Like, what's a podcast? I'm like, I wanted to be like, yeah, you're not even that old. Get up on technology.
He was not that old. You should have known what a podcast was for sure.
Yeah. He knew what a podcast was. He just wanted to see if I was like, I don't know.
Well, you just keep asking questions until you fumble over something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
until you blurt out, I'm a terrorist.
I'm a terrorist. I have a bomb. I'm drunk.
Well, like, the funny thing about the podcast is I had a situation like that in the airport in Winnipeg. I put my bag through to get carried under the plane, and it had my podcasting gear because I wanted to interview some friends in Northern Ontario.
Yeah.
And when I opened my luggage again, it was like they rifled through all my stuff. So I guess it went through the scanner, and they saw the microphones, and they saw this equipment, and nobody thought to say, oh, okay, it looks like this guy is carrying studio equipment with him. So they searched my bag, they rifled through, they left a little tag saying, we felt up your underwear. I felt so violated.
Oh, yeah. We were here. That's what it's been inspected by Canadian Border Services.
They
leave tags?
Yeah. They let you know that they've been through your stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in case you were thinking of doing something suspicious on your way back, we've already looked at
things. We've looked at your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I can tell, because it looked like a three-year-old just, like, pretty much just trying to find, like, the Cracker Jack toy at the bottom of a Cracker
Jack. Yeah, exactly. Just a mess everywhere. Well, I had some friends in a band called Project Wise back in the day. You might have heard of them. They're from around like Sudbury, and Yas Talat, who's one of the MCs in that group, around September 11th was when they were really popular and touring the world. So they'd pull him aside, he and his brother Mohammed, and they'd like go through his bags, and he told a really great story one time about I guess the backpack he was wearing. They're like, your people have a way of taking these backpacks and turning them into parachutes so that they can set off bombs and planes and jump out. He's like, when has this ever happened?
What do you mean, your people?
Yeah.
That's brutal. That was Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. And they showed him how to make it into a parachute too. Like, they actually gave him a step-by-step guide on how to do it.
Okay. Maybe they want to see it happen.
He's like, I still don't know what you're talking about, but that's really informative. Like, you should actually make a YouTube clip. It would get a lot of hits.
I would like to learn how to make a parachute out of a backpack. Let's do this.
It's fun arts and crafts. Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. Excellent.
Is this rolling right now?
Yeah, it's rolling
now.
Oh, okay.
Your police record is now.
Or my non-existent police record.
Yeah.
They're just two nice guys just doing their jobs.
No, they were cool. They were nice.
Yeah. What show are you trying to get the cops out to exactly?
Jazz Fest. Yeah. Playing Jazz Fest on the 15th?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah. The free day? Yeah.
Yeah, the free day, yeah, on Sunday. So that should be pretty exciting. We're
playing at the Cube right before Moses May's closing night, I think it is.
Moses May's. Those guys are always cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not your first Jazz Fest, huh?
This ain't our first rodeo.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we played it, third or fourth year playing it. Yeah, so it should be pretty exciting. And then we're going to COCA, which is a music conference with a bunch of bookers. That's going to be in the beginning of June. So pretty excited about that. It's going to be in Niagara Falls. I never been to Niagara Falls, so...
Niagara Falls is like, when people come to Canada, that's like the one thing that everybody wants to see. That's like everyone's favorite tourist attraction.
Totally.
So, I mean, you might have some international fans after that.
Yeah, who knows, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, but yeah, we're going to go down there for two nights and see what's going on in Niagara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People who like large bodies of water also seem to like our band. I don't know if that's a coincidence. So I think we're going to have a lot of success in Niagara Falls.
Like who?
Yeah.
What?
Like who?
No, that wasn't a real thing. I just made it. Oh. Sorry.
Oh. That's, well, I mean, you I have...
Like, really? This is
I did say it pretty seriously, yes. With a lot of conviction.
Yeah. There was zero sarcasm. It was like 100% just...
dry Canadian humor.
Yeah. Like... Okay.
Well, you guys have gone across the pond and toured a bit of Europe there, right? You did the UK and I'm trying to
France and stuff.
Yeah. Now, how is the music like received? Obligatory question: how is the music received there versus in the center of the prairies where there are no large bodies of water?
You know what? I personally found that, you know, there's always tranches or groups of people in metropolitan areas that really, really appreciate, like, you know, what we do, like, which is, like, soul music with, like,
yeah,
a little bit more, like, upbeat soul music with, like, a rock and roll influence, rock and roll punk influence.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's one thing that I found, like, you know, especially in, like, London, you know, they were just, like, when we played at, the Dublin Castle, which is, like, in Camden, which is, it's, like, iconic place of London. Like, the people that did see us, they were like, oh my goodness, next time you come down. Like, just, like, adding us to, like, everything. And, yeah, no, it's a really cool experience because you just kind of like, oh, maybe I am onto something. Because people are freaking out, you know? It's not you're not trying to win people over. People are being won over by the actual medium itself.
Nice. Now, I mean, freak out, I would say, would probably be among the top three responses you can get to your music, right?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. There's also, like, shitting of the pants.
Blowing the groin.
Yeah.
That's pulling the groin?
Blowing the groin.
Oh, blowing the groin.
Yeah.
They're just like, they come up, they say, shit, I love your music, and then their groin just explodes.
Oh, groin blowing, they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, the groin blowingly. Mm-hmm.
Is that a British thing, the groin blowing experience?
Definitely. Yeah, it's really, they're just jizzing in their pants.
Oh, man.
You're gonna have to clean this up a little than that.
No. I don't see a point in cleaning up a show like this. People who listen to it have to seek it out. So,
true enough.
So to me, I mean, like, in the first 30 seconds you hear fuck like 4 times on this show, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do the whole hospital drama previously on thing, and we take clips out of context from each episode and play it all juxtaposed in a way to make it sound like there's this confusing ongoing storyline. I got the idea from Mad Men, just the way that they tail end every episode with like, next week on Mad Men, and then none of the quotes that they take out of context make any sense whatsoever.
it's always strange when like TV shows do that.
Yeah.
Cause it's very dangerous because you can end up with a situation where, you know, it just sounds cheesy. You know, if the delivery's not right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like this week on Arrow. I don't know if you've ever seen Arrow. I sure haven't, but I've seen the clips and I'm like, this is cheesy as fuck. Like New Age Robin Hood, but with no fucking merry men.
Yeah.
There's no merry men.
You gotta have the merry men.
Yeah, fuck Arrow.
It's DC Comics, Green Arrow, is what it's all based on.
Really? I thought it was Robin Hood. Thank you for making me look like an uncultured prick then.
Well, no, because...
Appreciate it.
Because if you take the backstory to Green Arrow, it is kind of similar to that of, like, Bruce Wayne. He's a well-to-do playboy that gets...
So it's the Green Arrow, not Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from.
I have no idea if you're being sarcastic.
I'm being 100% serious. This is really... Google it. Do you have an iPhone?
I have a laptop right here. Hold on, let me just put that down. It is based on Green Arrow because I recently, I heard an interview with a superhero psychologist and yes.
You go to school for that?
Someone did, yeah. And,
that's awesome. That person's just a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
I'm gonna have to research snake oil salesmen just to see how far that goes.
Oh yeah, you can go down a rabbit hole, my friend.
Oh, I believe it. Arrow is, I'm just looking for the TV show now. Film, television, Arrow TV series, 2012 retelling of the Green Arrow comic, yeah.
Well, you're right, I'm wrong.
That's okay.
I put it in song.
When was the last time there was a good Robin Hood movie, though?
Russell Crowe?
Yeah?
I didn't watch it. No. I don't know, somebody told me it was alright.
Not a movie, but Rocket Robin Hood, that was...
Rocket Robin Hood was the shit. Yeah, Rocket Robin Hood was the shit.
Yeah.
Now we're dating ourselves.
Okay. Oh man, I loved,
good old golden age of cartoons! Rocket Robin Hood!
That was from like the 60s or 70s. Yeah, we're not dating ourselves, we're just dating television that plays old shit.
Yeah, that was before our time, really. Yeah. Well, there's something to be said about like,
Well, first of all, you guys dress up very nicely on stage. Like, you're very clean in your presentation. You know, it's all suits and ties and everything, which is, not something that a lot of bands are doing nowadays, it seems. And, you're playing like a, what's really considered, what would almost be, you know, played on more of a, an oldie station. I don't mean like oldies as in like, you know, 1940s, but like music that, that some people believe is of a different generation. I mean, how would you feel about, I mean, how do you feel about the idea that someone might consider that you're trying to modernize an old idea? Like, do you think that's bullshit or?
Well, no, that's exactly what we're doing. That's like music is very cyclical, right?
You know,
a lot of people, you know, like, well, dance music and like electronic music, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's waning, but it's, it like when it first started to like hit the scene.
Yeah.
It was like, I was all about it. People were like, why are you listening to this gay shit? You know? Like, I don't mean gay homosexual. I mean like,
oh, no.
It's cheesy, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, why are you listening to this stuff? And it was just like, I don't know, I like it, you know what I mean? And then like 2 years later, everybody, like people get on it, right? But really when you look back at like, you know, the 70s and the 80s particularly, everything was being synthesized and the whole same thing was happening. People were like, oh, like rock and roll is dead and everything's just synthesizers and yada yada yada, rah rah rah. And then punk comes back into the scene, and like, you know, in the early 90s, there was a whole grunge thing. It's just what happens, right?
Yeah.
You know, you take something, you dust it off, and you get people to look at it in a different light. And right now, there's a huge, I feel like there's a bit of a revival going on with a lot of, soul, revivalists, I should say.
Yeah.
Go, like particularly with the whole 60s and 70s soul movement.
Yeah. Well, even if you look at, the electronic music to soul music. I mean, even look at like Jamie Liddell was a DJ and then he became a soul singer. Mayer Hawthorne was a DJ that became a soul singer as well. Like that's coming up pretty frequently as well.
Yeah.
These geeky, you know, kind of, shy looking guys all of a sudden grabbing the mic and singing soul with like so much flair and I want to say pizzazz, but I don't know if that's a soul word.
No, pizzazz isn't really a soul word.
Yeah.
Could be. You meant pizzazz. You know, but yeah, no, it is this crazy, thing that's going on where like, you know, the music always evolves and, you know, it's always ever moving and ever changing and like, so is life. You can't, the more you try to stop it, the more difficult a time you're going to have, you know, it's like, it's just the way it goes. Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
Yeah. Were there other genres you guys were playing before you settled into soul? Like other bands that you were in that you didn't quite have exactly what you were looking for, or had it something that, you know, led to being in this band? Or
Joel played in a metal band in Sweden.
Really?
I played for a metal band in Sweden. Yeah, I played all kinds of different music from like rock to soul now, I guess, and played for like punk rock bands and but yeah, I lived in a city called Gothenburg in Sweden and they're all about metal there.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. I'm not really like a double kick drummer.
No.
And that's what it's all about, like the new age metal. But I found a band that was kind of like early Sabbath sound. So they were all about the single kick and it worked out. But everyone in the band has different musical backgrounds. And I think that's what, is really nice about our band is that we're all coming from something different, but we bring it all to the table and we all bring our influence and our our feel, and it makes something unique, you know.
Have you guys had a chance to hit Sweden, Gothenburg, Sweden again?
No, I'd love to. I think they'd be really receptive, the crowds there, because they're huge supporters of local music and they've got an excellent like art scene and music scene, so it'd be really cool to go and try and play over there for sure. There's actually a whole movement of people that are, I don't know if there's like a term or what you call them, but they basically live in the 50s where they don't own anything beyond what was made in the 50s. So they get rid of like all modern conveniences. They don't have cell phones.
Yeah.
They don't have modern TV. They have like a TV from the 50s, like a black and white TV.
They the take black it seriously.
It's crazy. Yeah. So there's that whole movement going on. I think that, people would be
People will be down.
Down.
Yeah, you might have to play it like a sock hop. Though someone might be upset. Someone might be upset that you're wearing like suits or outfits made beyond the 1950s, you know? Like, that watch isn't historically.
This isn't historically accurate.
Get him! Burn the heretic!
Yeah.
All I really know about Gothenburg, Sweden, I learned from Jens Lekman's songs, actually. He's got stuff about, like, they don't have VIP lines for clubs there, and apparently that offended Kirsten Dunst. And
what?
Yeah, he has a song called Waiting for Kirsten, and she's filming a movie over there with Lars von Trier, and apparently... she was staying in this hotel that a friend of his worked at, so he went to go find her because she talked about him in a magazine, so he got a big crush on her. And he gets to this club that she was supposed to be at, and apparently she left because she had to wait in line like everybody else. It's an adorable song.
Sweden comes from, like, socialist background, so it's very all about, like, equality and treating people equally, so it's, I can see that being true.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have acquaintances in a band called Statues from Sudbury, Ontario. Now they're playing more so as Strange Attractor. And they said that when they sell vinyl, like, for the most part, it's usually sold on their European tour. Like, kids in Sweden, kids in Europe want, you know, a 7-inch. They want, you know, something they can put on their record player versus... Yeah,
particularly Scandinavia.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, in Paris, they were a little less inclined to do that.
I think they said, they warned us before we went to the UK that would be the same sort of story. Like, you'd be lucky to sell, like, a CD at a show, at a really good show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be like, I love you, and you're like, because they just, like, everybody's on streaming, like, so many times people are like, are you on Spotify? Are you on Spotify? I was like, shit, like, we gotta get on Spotify. You know?
Sorry, we're like those people from Sweden. We only, you know, take things from the 1950s. That's it.
That's
so, what's Spotify? What is this future concept you speak of, you know?
But that started in Sweden, actually, Spotify.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's, Sweden's just seeming like this magical place.
IKEA, hello. Yeah.
But I mean, even if you look at a lot of the bands that come out of there, there's some, like, Refused? Holy shit.
Yeah. they're a big exporter of music, I think. They're like the second biggest exporter of music in the, considering their size.
Yeah.
Second biggest exporter of music in the world behind US.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, Max Martin, also from Sweden, the guy who wrote like all of Britney Spears' like popular songs.
Really?
Yes. Also a Swedish guy.
Really? He's from Sweden?
Yes. Yes. I'm almost 100% sure of that. Because of an interview with Robin I read years ago.
Do you want to sing a little bit of Britney Spears for us?
Me? I don't know if I can remember any
Britney Spears. You crazy?
The one that I remember from growing up is like, sometimes I run, sometimes I hide, sometimes I'm scared of you, but all I want to do is just hold you tight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
I was kind of country. You put a country swing on it. I like that. Yeah.
It's the first time anybody's ever made
it. Yeah, you Moscow exclusive!
That could be a thing, man. You could do Britney Spears country covers. Yeah, like a guy playing steel guitar. And you're just, man.
Yeah, that would be... Well, yeah, maybe I'll talk to the Buffalo Band about that project.
Just straight Britney Spears covers, countrified.
Yeah.
Bluegrassed up.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear Toxic as a country.
Yeah. Yo, Toxic, Tug, slipping under. That's more like grungy garage.
I
do a lot of heroin and
what's that
opium.
What's that type of like Yiddish folk music? That's almost what it kind of reminded me.
Good work on it,
yeah. Yeah, we gotta work on these cover bands, these very specific cover bands.
Very focused niche. But yeah, no, we actually have an album that's coming out. Speaking of I guess not really covers, but we do a lot of like original stuff. But yeah, we're gonna be working on our album this summer in July.
Oh, it's a good month for an album.
With a gentleman by the name of Mike Nash.
Oh.
We're out of Montreal. And yeah, it should be pretty good. We're gonna grab the bull by the horn, so to speak.
Very nice, very nice.
We already finished pre-production.
Yeah, and you guys just had a 7-inch release in the past year as well.
Yeah.
How does it feel? I mean, did the first record come out on vinyl at all?
No, the first record didn't. So yeah. It was really a nice thing. It was like kind of like a bucket list sort of situation.
Yeah.
We got it pressed in the UK, and it was a really great experience, and it's just amazing to like just see that's like we made this, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, quite recently. Remember the name of the my phone's over there. The name of the beer company, but there's a brewery that actually has like a short run of our label.
Oh, really?
They do this with a bunch of like bands, but our label, our cover is actually on the beer label.
That's
cover
amazing.
Of the 7-inch. Yeah.
Really neat. So now people can stare at your distorted face whenever they, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right now, whenever they're drinking beer. They can feel like they've had way too many.
Yeah.
By looking at our distorted album art. So it's pretty good. I'm going to try and get some in Niagara. Oh, there it is. There it is. Boom. Joel's got it.
Collective Arts? Is that the name of it?
Collective Arts.
Okay, yeah. That, I saw that posted on Manitoba Music.
Yeah, Manitoba Music.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not a big fan of classifieds, but they are definitely an amazing classified. They have an amazing classified section for up and coming, musicians. I found this online the other day and I've been looking for an excuse to read it on the show. Do you guys ever go on Kijiji to look for things, like whether it be equipment or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Kijiji's dope.
Yeah. I was on there a while back looking for work, and this just confused the living hell out of me, but I had to save it because I couldn't find words to describe it. A man put out an ad for a hugger. And I was like, I don't know what a hugger is for a job. So this was from 2013. I said, hi, I'd like to open my ad by saying that I'm not a sicko, weirdo, or sex obsessed freak show. Yeah. But he wants to pay somebody in Tim Hortons gift cards to hug him and pretend to be his mother. It's exactly. The way the look on your face is dropped, you're like,
The pretend to be the mother thing is kind of like...
Yeah.
I just feel bad for that guy.
Exactly.
I want to give him a hug now. He doesn't need to give me Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
I won't be his mom, but...
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah, like, all the Tim Hortons you can eat or drink.
Yeah.
Be merry.
It's an ad where you're smiling one second and frowning the other. He says, I'll gladly exchange a $50 Tim card a month for your services. I love that he calls it a service.
Yeah. I can see Joel just like in his underwear, just like shriveling in the corner, just counting his Tim Hortons gift card, and the guy's just like, check it, you cheap whore.
Thanks for your services.
Thank you for your services.
This has been a pleasant exchange.
Speaking of Kijiji ads, I actually had, this is weird, I had a lady walk up to me in Portage Place. I work near Portage Place, so I walk through there. Once in a while, and she just kind of like starts walking towards me. She circles around and she says, hi, how's it going? And I've never seen this lady in my life. She's probably like mid 30s and she seemed normal.
By the way, this is messed up.
Yeah. And then, she's like, oh, I think I owe you an apology. And I'm just like, okay, like I've never seen her in my life, so I don't know how she could owe me an apology already. And she's like, yeah, I've seen
Creeper
you walking
alert.
Through
Five,
here.
4, 3, 2.
I've seen you walking through here a few times, and I was talking about you with my friend.
There it is!
And then we took a picture of you.
There it is!
And then we posted an ad on Kijiji. No, she said ads, plural ads, on Kijiji with your picture on them.
Like, is this a missed opportunity? Like a missed relationship?
I don't know. I didn't ask what was in the ads. I just wanted to kind of get away from her as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
because
she, I don't know. Like she
but she said, okay, well, I took down the ads and I just wanted to apologize. She'd been giving me dirty looks lately, she said. I've never seen her, but apparently I'm giving her dirty looks. And she thought it was because I saw the ads and got upset about it.
But, that's...
all
there's
colors.
There's weird. I'm gonna start hanging out on Kijiji because there's obviously weird stuff going on.
There is some wonderful weird stuff that you have to see before it gets taken down.
Oh. Sounds kind of like Craigslist because there's obviously weird stuff going on Craigslist. As
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that place was weird. Kijiji seemed like a bit cleaner version of Craigslist.
Yeah.
This just seemed like a garage sale online.
Yeah.
Is there like personal ads on Kijiji?
There used to be. Have you ever been to the Craigslist personal ads? Like, I will say this. Like,
there's some deviants on there, man. I've seen that before, yeah.
Yeah, like, I remember, like, I was on OkCupid for, like, 2 months because I was just kind of in a bit of a rough spell.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, well, what else is out there? So I checked out Plenty of Fish, which might as well have just been called, like, you know, DTF 420. Like, there's no other...
DTF 420.
Yeah. Because it's just, every message you get is, hey, I'm high, wanna fuck. And then...
Hey, I'm high.
Yeah. Hey, I'm high, my girlfriend's out of town, wanna fuck, is pretty much every female friend of mine's experience on Plenty of Fish. Yeah. And then the other one was Craigslist ads. And one of them from a Winnipeg woman was like, this is my vagina. And then you scroll down and there's a picture and then she says, I want somebody to fill this thing up with cum and put a baby in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was just, yeah, right to the point. I had to admire the fact that she
knows what she wants, anyway. Yeah.
But, like, people forget, like, you're broadcasting this not just, like, down the street, to the world. That's pretty much, like you know, you're an eyewitness to, like, I don't know, a car crash, and they're like, excuse me, so what is your recollection of the accident?
Yeah.
And then you just say, like, nah, I just want somebody to fill my vagina up and come and put a baby in it. What? Like, why are you putting that on the internet?
Yeah, I don't... you put something online, it's like one of my social media studies that we had in college was, we're going to put a bunch of embarrassing videos of you as amateur journalists on the internet. And then the next lesson was, be careful what you say online, because getting something off the internet is like taking piss from the ocean. So that picture's out there. And not only is it out there, but even if you delete it yourself personally, someone has seen it, could have taken a screen capture, could have saved the image. It's just,
it's all happening.
Yeah.
Let's get our tin hats, man. Get the tin hats.
I mean, is there, can you think of like anything that, and this is just going to be a straight up toss up, and if it just hits the floor flat, I'm okay with that. Is there anything you can think of that someone would be able to find of you on the internet? Maybe a moment that might be a little embarrassing, like maybe a former band, maybe like someone put a drunk Vine of you online or something, or?
Like,
Myron just face raped me last week and he said, he called me a freegan.
No, that wasn't me. That was Tim.
That was Tim?
That was Tim. I'm saying this right now, Tim Jones. Come clean.
Oh, man, I'm sorry, dude.
I can show you my phone.
I've only ever heard you drop the term freegan. That's why I blame you.
When did I say freegan?
You were describing, like, freegans to us the other day.
It's a freegan.
Don't pretend like you don't know now. And now you're just going to be all innocent.
I'm innocent. I plead the fifth.
What?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, so first of all, is a freegan what I think it is?
I don't know.
Go ahead, you're the master.
I don't know what a freegan is. I legitimately don't know.
Okay, well, I've been told it's someone who dumpster dives for
food. Oh, yeah,
food.
Dumpster dives for food. Okay, yeah, freegan.
Okay, now he knows, yeah.
I'm just fucking so, with you. I knew it was someone, but it wasn't me.
It wasn't you.
It was not me.
I don't know
okay.
what you believe.
Okay.
No.
So Scout's honor.
Dumpster diver, someone who takes things either before they're about to be thrown out by restaurants or sometimes goes through trash to find...
Yeah. So the post went on to describe that I was having bowel issues now because of my freegan ways.
Yeah.
Where did this, like, where was this posted?
On my Facebook.
So really?
It was like, my recent status update.
Oh, so somebody was in your Facebook account. That's what they call it, face raping?
Yeah, I got face raped.
Man.
Yeah.
You got face raped.
I'm glad they don't call it hacking, but I don't know if that's any better.
When you said face raped, I was like, I don't recall face raping you. Like, in my head, I was just like,
probably like, something you'd remember.
I'm recalling, I'm like, yeah. What did I do? Did I fuck his face? Did that happen?
No, that's never happened for the record.
No.
Nobody never... has fucked my face.
Okay.
No men, anyway.
No men.
Yeah, there's a little buff action and a little clown go.
Yeah, that's never been an issue while you're diving.
Don't mix those two, face raping and dumpster diving.
I'm dumpster diving on the phone!
Yeah.
If you've ever worked at a restaurant, like, you've pretty much dumpster dived before, because there's that whole concept of this food's about to expire, throw it out, and one man's trash is another man's treasure, as far as I'm concerned. And when you're working at Wendy's and you're like, those fries aren't done. Oh, I can take him.
He is it.
Everyone's done it.
I do recall one time when I was in university, I was playing basketball, and we were studying for exams, and everything was closed, and there was a Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
It's like in U of M, it's Tim Hortons, and I guess they throw out all the donuts at the end of the night. So it's late, we have our coffees, me and a couple guys from the basketball team, and they're like, and we kind of built up a rapport with them, you know?
Yeah.
He was just the basketball guys, and they're like, oh, hey, so like, we're closing, do you guys want anything? We're like, no, not really, like, no, we got these donuts, and like, we're gonna throw them out.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty big strapping guys, you guys want some of these donuts? We're like, yeah, give us some of these donuts, and they're like, yeah, the only problem is that the only way that we can give you these donuts is if we put them in a garbage bag and leave them.
What?
And so there's about 50 donuts in this garbage bag, and yeah, we just totally just like had a bunch of these donuts. But it wasn't like as satisfying as you might think.
Yeah.
Because like they kind of like tasted a little bit like the garbage bag.
Yeah, they're gonna adopt the flavor of that.
They picked up the like plastic resin and just, I think I had half of one. I was like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah.
Now we know who the real freegan is now.
Yeah, freegan all the way.
Imagine Demon, you go back to the same donut shop at the same time and you're like, oh hey, I'd like some more donuts please. And they're like, oh, okay, well we're about to throw these out anyways. Here's a box of them. And you're like, you mean you don't have to put them in a garbage bag? And they're like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And those girls were just fucking with you.
They just wanted to see you eat out of a garbage bag.
He's eating the donut!
Yeah, I know.
What a schmuck.
It's pretty funny though.
No kidding.
So,
no kidding.
Donuts in a garbage can, in a garbage bag.
So how much stuff do you have going into the new record?
Oh, we have a ton of new material. When we play at Jazz Fest, it's gonna be like primarily new material.
Yeah.
And material that we've recalibrated and we've reworked. Nice. And we've synthesized and reduced down. It's kind of like, the process is kind of akin to, you know, when you have a big pot of soup and all the flavors are just separate, and then you just say, okay, now I'm gonna just put this on simmer and let it all simmer down and cook. And that's pretty much what we did in pre-production with Nash. It was pretty much just us in a room, for extended periods of time, saying, okay, how can we fix this? How can we make, not fix it, but how can we make this song better? And like, you know, like, does this make sense? Like, with the hook being here, let's move the hook. Let's change these chord progressions to make them more, appealing and make them,
hookier.
Make them hookier, you know?
Yeah. And what, is there ever a line when it comes to somebody trying to make the music hookier? Or, is there a point of compromise where you're like, you know, no, I don't want that to change anymore? Like, have you ever had an instance where the diplomacy has just not gone well, or?
I was kind of like, you know what, let's try these changes and see if we like them this way. And if we don't like them, naturally it's going to revert back to the old way, right?
Right.
So it was kind of like, you know what, we'll try it. We came in there with an open mind, and I really think that we came out with a really, really good product that people are going to be extremely excited about once they hear it.
Nice.
So when, like, a lot of people are going to be hearing it for the first time at Jazz Fest. Actually, everyone's going to be hearing it for the first time at Jazz Fest, so come to Jazz Fest.
That's
come
right.
Jazz Fest. On June 15th.
On June 15th. It's June 15th at Jazz Fest.
June 15th! One night!
At the Cube.
At the Cube.
How do you like playing at the Cube, anyways? I mean, it almost seems like it might be a bit of a nightmare if you're kind of claustrophobic.
You know what? But before they like kind of like opened it up fully and like kind of like set it so it's completely open all the time.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like the engineering of it, they kind of like just missed the mark a little bit and ended up with a product that wasn't fully functional and wasn't easy to use with regards to the design. So now that they've kind of like amended that and filleted it open on both sides, not only does it look a lot cooler, it also looks more open and there's more room. You don't feel as claustrophobic on stage.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I do. I like it.
You like the Cube?
Yeah. It's a great venue, like being outside in the summer. I mean, you can't really.
And then there was that crazy lady on Shaw TV.
What?
The crazy lady?
The crazy lady. Remember last year, the crazy lady?
Oh, the preacher.
Wait, what?
There was a lady that came up on, she was like, oh, all colors are crazy. she comes up, and like, I'm a spiritual person, perfectly like fine with it, but she was like, she was one of those like, the end is coming tomorrow. Wow. And like sweating, and like, it wasn't like a preacher saying it. It was like, just like way over the top. And she probably thinks like God equals aliens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she comes up, she's on the stage. It was like one of those things where I'm like scanning across and I'm like, whoa, that lady's crazy. You know what I mean? She gets up on the stage, during one of her breaks, have this wireless mic, and she's like, oh, she's trying to say something. And I'm like, no. And she says, it's my birthday. It's my daughter's birthday. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, it's your daughter's birthday. I think she's going to say happy birthday.
Yeah.
She grabs the mic because I give her the mic. I'm like, all right, be quiet. And she goes, if you want Jesus in your heart, you need to let him in. And I'm like, what? Taking the mic away from you. I was like, oh, right. Enough of this.
Yeah.
Moving right along, I pushed her off the stage. I'm like, where's security? Where is security? Jazz Fest, beef up the security.
So you were, this whole performance was recorded for Shaw TV.
It was, yeah.
And so can you find that in the clip or was it cut out?
No, you can find that in
there.
The clip.
It's still there. It's there.
Really?
Yeah, you can see it.
I'm pretty sure it's there and I'm pretty sure it's online.
Yeah. Oh, I'm tagging that on the end of this episode.
Yeah, I know. And like Tracy was really, really, like, she was really, really cool to work with. She's very like, and like Shaw TV is really cool, like they're,
yeah.
Like they did a great job. And I think they're gonna be doing it again this year, so.
Nice.
Should be pretty exciting.
And that, like a performance like that, I mean, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given from people in the industry is just keep putting things out every week. Just constantly have new videos or new audio clips or new photos. Just make sure people are constantly seeing that you're active. Leave enough reminders. Give people enough reason to be curious about what you're doing. And to have an entire performance like that out there for free, it's like, it looks really polished. It's very professionally done. It shows you playing in front of a really big, a crowd, really. You did one where you played in a train station, though, in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what was, like, what was that like? I could hear there was a bit of background noise kind of interfering, right?
Well, yeah, because it's in a train station. There's all these people around walking. It's really cool. It's sponsored by Bose and Gibson.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it was, like, it's one of the largest train stations in the world. And, yeah, there was, it, like, for the most part, it was pretty straightforward. They, like, obviously there's gonna be hiccups and there's gonna be bleed out from, like, you know, sounds outside, off the stage, right?
Yeah.
Cause, I mean, for Pete's sake, you're in a train station, but all in all, it was a really, really amazing experience. Got to see, Mark, who's one of our first fans when we were just playing ska.
Yeah.
Ska and reggae. He's this older gentleman, he's like old, like skinhead guy, wears braces, super nice guy, and he, like huge Arsenal fan, he's an amazing guy, and he came out with his girlfriend, and we went and had like a drink and stuff, and yeah, Mark's a G, I miss him.
I mean, this is like, it's my daughter's birthday, give me the microphone.
Yeah, I know, I mean, he was it's my daughter's birthday, give me the mic. Next time somebody says, like, it's my daughter's birthday, I'm gonna be like, forget your daughter's birthday, forget you.
Oh, that's my ridiculous. Goodness. So, you said that you were more of a ska outfit, originally. Like, was there a specific song or something that just sort of started leading you in a different direction? Or was there a certain point where, you know, you felt like the songs you were writing were more soul anyways? Or?
It's a conscious decision, really. Yeah. Nobody's doing soul anymore.
Okay.
Let's do that. And let's just add noble to our name.
Okay.
And that was pretty much it.
Ah.
It was like, and then there's a gentle transition.
Gentle transition. Well, there was still some very reggae influenced and very ska influenced stuff on the first record, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I like that you sing it very clean. I find that a lot of people, especially like when people cover like Bob Marley, for example, they tend to try and sing it with like a patois. I think that's a little bit strange.
And it's just like, no, just, you gotta make things your own, especially when you're covering something or with any genre. You don't try to completely emulate the genre of music that you're doing, or else it's going to either come off contrived or it's going to come off stale.
Yeah.
And that's something that's a conscientious decision that we've kind of like chosen to kind of like steer away from, because, you know, if somebody already did it, it's so amazing. Why are you going to do it the exact same way? You can do it similar.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up, I would like to just ask one final question I normally ask to people before we finish up the podcast is, if you want to pay it forward to anybody else, any other musicians, artists who are making music or making art or filming TV shows or doing stand-up in the city that you think people should check out if they have a chance to?
Who do you think?
I'm a big Attica Rice fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Bobby D fan.
I like Bobby and Attica and the guys in Attica.
I got a man crush on Bobby D. So.
You got a man crush? Yeah, no, they're amazing. And like, their live show and their recordings that I've heard, they're gonna do just fine.
Oh yeah,
check them out for sure.
They've got some newer stuff coming out. Didn't they just have a CD release show, or are they having a CD release show coming up soon, or?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But they're always playing. It's not hard to find them.
Definitely check them out. And also, obviously, like, Mise en Scene.
Yeah. All of our Pipe and Hat brethren. The Pipe and Hat family. You gotta give shout outs to the family.
Totally. So, yeah, I know, like, the Fast Romantics.
The Revival.
Yeah. Really, really, there's a lot of really, really good music. Like, Fast Romantics are obviously, they're based out of Ontario, but, there's a lot of really good music going on in Winnipeg, and that's why we're going to Appleton, Wisconsin in August.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for doing the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
Indeed.
All right, cheers.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's show. Thank you so much to the Noble Thieves for taking part in it. If you want to follow the Noble Thieves online, they do have a Facebook page, and you can follow them on Twitter at the Noble Thieves. That's thieves, not thieves. T-H-I-E-F-S, because fuck grammar. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Mr. Matt Moskal. That's my Twitter feed as well. You can get updates about the show, about what I'm up to, about my upcoming events, etc. Also, email us at tsapodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions, anyone you'd like to hear on the show, anything along those lines. We'd love to hear from you. Remember to follow us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Liberated Syndication, Tumblr even. Leave us a review, leave us some stars, all those kinds of fun things where your opinion is limited to the space that they give you. Because I try to limit my opinion to an hour block of time every week, and sometimes it's a little over, sometimes it's a little under. I don't think too many people really mind. Next week on the show, I will be talking to Graham from Hearing Trees. We'll be discussing their upcoming EP release show. And after that, I will be talking to stand-up comedian Tyler Penner, and we'll be talking about the Winnipeg Comedy Showcase that's taking place at the Park Theatre. In other words, I'm doing a lot of advertising for the Park Theatre over the next while, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you don't mind, I really like what they do there, and quite frankly, they've got Mac DeMarco coming later this month, so that's almost like a bribe. Only I paid for my tickets, so... Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're heading out to check out the free weekend of Jazz Festival, maybe I'll see you there. It's gonna be a blast. I'm gonna be introducing Leaf and SMRT once again at the Union Sound Hall next Saturday, the 21st, as part of the Jazz Festival celebration as well. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, my name is Matt Moskal, and everybody opens for somebody sometime, so might as well just enjoy the ride.